We'll hear argument now in the case of Moreno as executor of the Mendez estate against Chicago. Mr. Blau.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning. As you mentioned, my name is Les Blau. I represent the estate of Fernando Mendez. Mr. Mendez died about 2.5 weeks ago, and I have a motion pending since I've been hired by the estate to have the estate substituted. Mr. Mendez worked as a garbage collector for the city of Chicago for 18 years until he fell off a garbage truck and he injured his knee. At that point, he was placed on long-term disability, and he was on long-term disability from 1993 to 1997. During that time, he had a tracheotomy, a tube in his throat, and he was rehired by the city in 1997 as a watchman.
Mr. Blau, because time is short, let me tell you the one point that I really feel I need more information from you on. What this case looks like to me as a whole is a situation where the higher-ups in the city, namely Mr. Hollinger, but perhaps others, had not really been focusing on the fact that patrols were being made by vehicle in the 3200 Kedzie facility, or any other facility for that matter. And when Mr. Hollinger comes down, probably because of all of these health department visits, but for whatever reason, when Mr. Hollinger is down there and he discovers it, he basically says, that's not the job. You can't do it that way. And he takes the steps that he takes against Mr. Mendez. There's an aspect of your argument that sounds like, you know, the higher-ups weren't entitled to correct what they perceived to have been a problem.
And no, that would be wrong, Judge. And I think you've had it perfectly correct. You grasped the exact issue. You said it better than I probably could have said it, but...
So what are you going to do with Mr. Hollinger?
But there's one problem that you have, Judge, and to me, it's so critical, it's so central. When we had Mr. Hollinger on deposition, we asked him, did you send out any notices? Did you stop this action? We don't have any evidence of that. Did you reprimand the foreman? No. Did you write memos to the foreman? No. Okay. What we had, obviously, was a situation in which we were concerned that he would say, okay, once I found out about it, I took steps to correct it, I wrote memos, I did things, but that's not the case here, and it says so. It seems to me that what's critical to our case is the fact that Mr. Hollinger didn't take any steps against when Fernando Mendez said, and he said it not just when Hollinger confronted him in the garage, but when he was brought up in front of the pre-disciplinary meeting, he said, I've been doing this for 5 years and everybody else is doing it. And everybody else continued to do it. And their affidavits say so. Nobody stopped them. The higher-ups didn't care about those people and they continued to drive after this happened.
So let's be precise about the affidavits. The district court rejects your later two ones, but the earlier two ones, Gambarale, if that's how he pronounces it, and Gibson,
yes, ma'am,
say that they use their cars, maybe not all the time, but they use their cars. And
yes.
Your position is that a genuine issue of fact on the job qualifications has been created because Hollinger took no extra steps against these people or in response to Mr. Mendez's telling him, yeah, we all drove around.
I think it's even more than that, Judge. It's not just the issue of facts created by these affidavits, which the judge refused to allow me to supplement with more detail.
Right, well, which is
more than that. It's that when Mr. Mendez was hired, the man who hired him testified that people who were injured and unable to do other kinds of work were hired by this department for, quote, sedentary jobs. And Mr. Ayash, who was his supervisor and who is now an assistant director, said, he told me he was driving. I didn't object. And so what we really have is not just one person saying, oh, I didn't know people were driving. Now I know they're driving. I'm going to change everything. It's one man saying that, taking no action to change everything, when we have two other people saying it's a sedentary job, saying I knew he was driving, he told me he was driving, I didn't stop him. And these are superiors. These are the situation here is so, with all due respect, egregious, that I seriously considered a cross motion for summary judgment because of all the evidence I had that I thought was so overwhelming. But I didn't. On the other hand, we have all of these other pieces of evidence. We have no action by Hollinger to reprimand the foreman. Everybody, all those affidavits say nobody told them to stop, nobody said anything ever. They drove in all different locations. And so it seems to be that we have, at a minimum, a genuine issue of fact.
Well, that's critical for you, right? Because
critical, absolutely critical. If you don't find I have an issue of fact,
if the job was really a job that people had to walk around, what I gather is this immense facility, Mr. Mendez couldn't do that. And at that point, all of the theories kind of go out the window.
Mr. Mendez, who had injured his knee before he went to the job, couldn't do it. Mr. Mendez, who had a tracheotomy, a tube in his throat, before he started work, couldn't do it. Everybody knew all that. And to suggest that a man who hired him for a sedentary job and says so under oath, a man who was told and says so under oath that he was driving, and to have Hollinger come in and say there's no issue of fact because this man who injured his knee, who wrecked his knee falling off a truck, who had a tube in his throat, was supposed to be patrolling this premises on foot, and he took no action to do anything to tell other people to stop. I think we do have an issue of fact. But if you don't think so, I'm out of court.
You're out because without driving, it's senseless.
He can't do it. Yeah, he can't do it. He's not capable. He's not capable, so he's not qualified.
Did the doctor say he was qualified at all for this job when he had to do the reevaluation?
The city doctor.
Well, whatever he was.
Mr. Fisher. That's a name you may know. But the city doctor to whom he was sent said he was not qualified to do his job.
But
and
that implied the walking job? What were the qualifications that the city doctor was applying?
Walking or driving? We did not depose the city doctor. We felt that once Hollinger sent him to the city doctor on the theory that he had to be able to walk, there was only one outcome that was going to happen then.
Okay.
So. May I step down?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, Mr. Boyle. Mr. Grunewald.
May it please the court. In this case, Mr. Mendez was hired as a watchman, and there is a written job description for the watchman position, and it explains that a watchman is required to be able to patrol the grounds to which he's assigned.
It doesn't say anything about walking or driving, though, actually, in the written job description.
Yes, that's true. It does not say specifically.
So, unfortunately, the written job description isn't going to be quite enough for you anyway. Not to say that they're necessarily conclusive anyhow, but you need more than that.
Well, the written job description is a very important foundation here, though, because it explains that the purpose of the watchman job is to patrol, to be able to detect and prevent unusual conditions, dangerous and hazardous conditions,
absolutely,
anything suspicious.
However, suppose... I don't know, but let's just suppose it would take somebody 45 minutes to walk around the perimeter of the 3200 Kedzie facility, and by driving, hopping out of the car and looking at something and driving, the person could make the rounds in 15 minutes. It's conceivable that the patrolling job could be done more effectively in a vehicle than by walking. If it was a combination, I'm having trouble seeing from the very legitimate purposes of this job how we get to vehicle versus walking.
I would agree that if you only had the written job description here, then in the abstract what you're describing is driving around could perhaps be more efficient in terms of accomplishing your rounds faster.
More regularly checking each potential trouble spot.
But the cost of that was explained by the director of security, Mr. Hollinger, when he explained the city's judgment as to the proper way to perform the watchman job.
But That's true, but the question here for you, I think, is whether there is a genuine issue of material fact based on not only the written description and the Hollinger testimony that's favorable to you, but the Hollinger testimony that's less favorable, namely not following up on notice that he was given that other people were also driving, and the testimony of the other, you know, there could be, and sometimes is, a genuine issue of material fact about what exactly are the job qualifications, and that's what I'm concerned about here.
And that is not this case, because there's no evidence that assails Mr. Hollinger's judgment as to the proper way to do this job.
Except and the fact that Hollinger himself doesn't seem to think it's important enough to discipline anybody else that he's told. Why would you think, even if somebody else is doing it, quote, from time to time, that, well, that's okay, you can do it from time to time? Surely if Hollinger really thinks you shouldn't do that, he wants to at least send notice to the other people who were doing it.
Well, as Your Honor's already noted, what Mr. Hollinger did, as soon as the very first time he spotted Mendez driving around in his car, even inside the garage to do his rounds, he went over to Mr. Mendez and he said, stop. And he explained, this is not the way you perform your watchman job.
And Mendez says to him, everybody else is doing it too. And he, the only difference, frankly, between Mendez and everybody else is that the other people aren't getting the city health department down on them. But be that as it may, if we're focusing on what does this job require, why doesn't Hollinger do anything about the other people who are driving?
Well, as Your Honor also noted, there's an issue with respect to Mr. Hollinger goes to Mendez, says stop, and schedules a pre-disciplinary meeting to talk about it. Now, Mr. Mendez, what we don't have in this record is extra steps that any extra steps he might have taken in terms of hunting down any of these foremen or other people that Mendez alleges are also doing the same behavior. But the way that Mr. Hollinger will properly inform Mr. Mendez of the essential functions of this job is by telling him that he needs to be doing it the right way. It's not by reprimanding other people.
What are the requirements of this job? They aren't specific to Mendez. The job of watchman has certain criteria, which presumably everybody have to comply with. And you can't have one set of criteria for Mendez. Maybe you can have one set of criteria for the 3200 Kedzie facility that the O'Hare facility doesn't need or something. I don't know about that, but that's not the city's position. And I guess in the sense of, are there issues of fact? If no one else had to do X, then maybe X isn't an essential function of the job.
And certainly the plaintiff is entitled to put into evidence, as is the city, all sorts of evidence of what the essential functions are. What's undisputed here is the director of security explaining how to do this job. And he explains it needs to be done on foot because you can't see and hear adequately inside your car. And he also explains that you have to cover for other watchmen by going to other facilities.
What if he had said all of those things and then the next day he comes back to the Kedzie facility and he sees Gibson driving around and doesn't say a word? Are we supposed to take his explanation about the job functions or his behavior as conclusive? Or is anything conclusive?
Well, of course, because that's not this case,
how far from this case it is. But anyway, if that were the case, I'll let you answer it as a hypothetical.
It would be evidence that would cast doubt on Mr. Hollinger's judgment.
That would create an issue of fact, wouldn't it?
Taken together, you would have everything to show what the employer's judgment is, which is entitled to deference, and you would have everything that the plaintiff could come forward. In that case, that would cast doubt on the employer's judgment. And it could be that the employee, Mr. Mendez, could have shown, if he could have established that Mr. Hollinger never enforced what he saw as the essential functions, then that would tend to cast doubt on his judgment that this is how you do your job. But that's not this case, because Mr. Mendez never came forward with evidence that Mr. Hollinger ever knew or ever condoned the same behavior in other watchmen that Mr. Mendez did.
But he does come forward with his own affidavit saying, I told him that other people were doing it. He's competent to testify as to what he himself said, surely.
And
his personal knowledge of that.
And that's true.
That's notice, isn't it?
It is notice, but it is also not evidence that Hollinger didn't act on anything. It's not evidence that Hollinger behaved differently or treated Mr. Mendez differently or required less from other watchmen, because this record just does not have any evidence of that. Instead, what you have is Mr. Mendez going to the predisciplinary meeting and saying, I'm absolutely not going to patrol on foot, and I'm absolutely not going to drive long distances. Here's a medical note from my doctor saying I can't drive to cover for other watchmen, something he'd refused to do two other times when he was assigned to go out to O'Hare to cover for other watchmen. At that meeting, as a result, obviously, they send him to city's doctor. There's a medical exam. He's found unfit for duty. But Mendez, at that point, as before, always knew what was expected of him, and he certainly never came forward with any evidence that he could do the job that Mr. Hollinger was describing. Mr. Hollinger was very clear on what was expected in this job. He's the director of security, and he can hire, fire, and discipline watchmen. None of these other people
It does certainly seem that for 5 years, Mr. Mendez had no reason at all to believe that he wasn't doing the job, since he had told his supervisor, taking the facts, you know, obviously in the light favorable to him, he told his supervisor he was going to drive. The supervisor said, fine. He wasn't, you know, hiding or anything, you know, and dashing out of the car the minute somebody gave him the word the supervisor was coming. He had expressed permission to do this.
And
what reason for him to think it wasn't a proper way to do the job?
What none of those people that he may have told, they may have turned a blind eye to what he was doing for 5 years. That doesn't change what the essential functions of the job are, though. None of them, Mr. Ayash notwithstanding, he didn't have the authority to hire or fire or promote or even demote watchmen.
But he
couldn't change
the supervisor, right? Didn't he have the authority to tell him how to accomplish the job?
And whether or not Mr. Ayash was doing that, it does not change the essential function, the fundamental duties of what a watchman needs to do.
Okay.
And because Mr. Mendez failed to come forth any evidence showing he could do the job that the city required of him, he wanted to do a different job, and that's something that the ADA doesn't allow you to do. And because he failed to create a genuine issue of fact that he could perform that job with covering other watchman locations by traveling and by being able to patrol the grounds on foot to adequately patrol. For that reason, the district court properly entered summary judgment.
I want to ask you one thing about his own, the medical reports. You talk about the city doctor. Did he have his own doctor give him a report about whether he could do the job?
There's no evidence in the record of that, and he didn't explain that he had gone to any other
doctor. But the issue is whether he was a qualified individual with a disability, isn't it?
It certainly is on both his claims. Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grunewald. Anything further, Mr. Blau?
Just one point, Judge, and I'll be out.
Judge Wood pointed out that not only did Mr. Hollinger, perhaps it was my adversary, have the power to hire and fire, but he had the power to discipline, too. And one thing my adversary doesn't mention is Beatrice Terrazas. Beatrice Terrazas was the lady who handled disciplinary proceedings, and in our appendix, on page number 152, we ask her, would it have been your normal course of dealings to interview the subject of a predisciplinary meeting before the meeting took place, for this particular case or for other cases in general, she asks, and I say in general. She says it all depends. I might. Yes, I could have done that, asked for written statements, gone out to the actual site to speak to individuals. Yes, depending on the case. Question, what made you decide not to do it in this case? Answer, my discussion with Chuck Hollinger. What? And answer, and also the fact that Deputy Commissioner James Cronus had witnessed the behavior. Question, how did you know that he witnessed the behavior? Answer, it's in the report. Question, did you speak to Mr. Cronus? Answer, no, but I spoke to Joe Vetrano. Question, what did? Answer, we were discussing about how upset James Cronus was. That's the man who got fined, whose department got fined because Fernando Mendez called the state. And that's the day that all three people, for the first time in the history of the department, decided to make an on-site visit together.
What are you looking for as far as remedy or damages or what?
I mean, well, we're looking for a trial, of course,
deceased.
Judge.
Pardon me?
We're looking for a trial, of course, Judge.
And what would be your goal in the trial?
Well,
show that he was wrongfully discharged and therefore they owe him money for whatever period of time he would have been there or what?
In effect, Judge, yes. I mean, obviously, the wrongful death issue is a separate issue that didn't exist and doesn't pertain directly to this case. But the doctor who's testified in this case said that the garage was so noxious that he would not, with his healthy immune system, no tracheotomy, have spent an hour in that garage. So we do have those issues.
You mean that this place was, given his condition, was dangerous to his health?
Well, Judge, the state said that it was dangerous to everybody's health. There were noxious diesel fumes. There were pigeon droppings.
It's awfully hard to see how that helps you. It just emphasizes the fact that your client was an extremely poor match for this job.
In the garage, absolutely. And that's why the issue of the accommodation.
The world here, at least to me, looks like the city has made one accommodation of your client after another. And no matter how many accommodations the city made, your client protested that he still couldn't do the job, even with the duties continually being whittled down. That all, you know, it's almost as if your client himself were raising his hand and proclaiming, I am not a qualified individual. I just can't do this job.
I hear you, Judge. There were two accommodations made because of the tracheotomy. And the accommodation at issue in this case about patrolling the entire facility except for the garage, which the city says they gave him, which is the issue that now they say on appeal they didn't give him and he should have already known it before 300 days, was the accommodation at issue in front of him. I understand where you're coming from. I feel, obviously, as the plaintiffs in this particular case, that I think that there is another side to that story, but that's what issues of fact are all about, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Boyle.
Thank you, sir.
The case is taken under advisement.